Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians this morning, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And our text this morning will be verses 12 through 16. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Paul writes, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul takes our mind's eye onto a track. He describes himself as a runner running a race, striving toward the finish line. The race that Paul illustrates for us is not a physical one, it is a spiritual one. It is a race of faith, a race that all believers have been placed into when they were miraculously transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit at the moment of their conversion. Here, Paul, as a fellow runner, a fellow racer, writes to the Philippian church, giving words of instruction to those who are diligently running alongside of him. As the church planting pastor of this congregation, his heart's desire is to see them continually advance in the race. Paul does not want to see anyone slow down or drop out of the race. He wants to see everyone progressing forward for the benefit of their own souls and for the glory and honor of God. Likewise, this is why God, in His mercy, has ordained overseers and pastors as leaders of the church. God has placed such men in such positions for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:12. And in Paul's racing terms, God calls, equips, and places pastors as under-shepherds in the church so that they might urge and encourage other racers to keep pressing toward the mark. When a runner on the team is distracted or dragging in the race, it is the responsibility of the pastor to find out why they are distracted or dragging, and then to encourage them in the race to stay focused. You see, the pastor is to operate as a coach, in a sense, pushing others to their fullest potential, desiring that they would be victorious. And may I say, this is why the pastor must preach in such an urgent and pressing way. Now, we are tempted to slow down in this spiritual race. In this spiritual race, we are tempted to become distracted with a thousand different things. And we need a coach who is constantly giving us instructions and giving us instructions from the coach, the Lord, on how we should run the race. I'm so thankful for coaches in my life. When I was on a high school basketball team, I had a very strict and stern coach, and sometimes I thought he had something personal toward me because he was always calling out my name. and telling me to hustle and get down the court. But he only did that for my benefit and for the benefit of the team. And so I am here this morning behind this pulpit, and I stand every Sunday morning behind a pulpit to encourage you to run the race with patience, to run the race with perseverance, to run the race and not slow down, to run the race and not quit. The Apostle Paul gives the believers in Philippi three important reminders regarding how they ought to run the Christian race. And these three reminders are vital truths that we must constantly recall if we are to be victorious in running the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me give you the first. In running the Christian race, the believer must not look back. Verses 12 and 13, Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, this is an encouraging passage for us because it may have been discouraging after we read the first few opening verses of chapter number 3. And Paul describes his desiring to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He describes the great zeal that he had for God as a lost man, as a religious Pharisee, a zeal that was without knowledge, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then he tells us of those things that were counted great to him became lost. They came as dung because he won Christ. He found the righteousness which is of Christ. And this righteousness then pressed him on to know Christ. Not a mere intellectual knowledge, but a spiritual knowledge. It pressed him to come more intimate with his Savior. And perhaps some reading this letter would say, wow, Paul's on a different spiritual level than I'll ever be. So Paul is like Super Paul. He is a Christian superhero. He has zeal that I'll never have. And that's why in this passage, Paul says, don't misunderstand me. I have not arrived. I am not spiritually mature. I still have work to do. And then that is encouraging to us. Here's Paul acknowledging his own insufficiencies. Here's the Apostle Paul, the church planting pastor, telling the church that he is involved in the race with them and that sometimes he struggles. But nevertheless, he is working his way toward the celestial city, toward the goal, that being his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he pens these words, he tells us as a co-runner and as a coach that we as believers must never look back at our past achievements. If we are going to run the race victoriously, we must never look back. And we must never look back to our past achievements. I personally believe that this was King Solomon's downfall. As you read his testimony recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 1 and 10, you will read of positive statement after positive statement after spiritual accomplishment after spiritual accomplishment. You will read that the Lord appeared to Solomon. You will read that the Lord gave Solomon great wisdom. You will read that the Lord used Solomon to write many proverbs and songs. Many flocked to Solomon to receive that wisdom that God gave. And the Lord used Solomon to construct the temple, to build the temple. But then when we turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, we turn to a very sad time in which this runner who was running the race with perseverance. This runner who was running toward the goal became sidetracked. The Bible tells us that Solomon's heart loved many strange women. Solomon had disobeyed the Lord's commandment. He gave his heart to those that he should not have given to. And I can't help but think, when I read those 11 chapters in 1 Kings, I can't help but think that perhaps Solomon, running the race, may have looked back at his past accomplishments. He may have thought, oh yeah, look at that time where the Lord appeared to me. That was wonderful. Oh, look at this time where the Lord used me to write proverbs and songs. Wasn't that wonderful? Look at my accomplishment here. Look at this person. Look at these people who've come to me. Look at my accomplishments. Look at my kingdom. Look at my treasures. Look at all that I have done. And it was then that led to his downfall. It was his looking back that led to his road burn. And this can be a real temptation for us. Some of us may be running the race, and when we look back and we pat ourselves on the back and we become proud of our past accomplishments, it is then that we find ourselves slowing down. Well, I used to read my Bible. I used to memorize Scripture. I used to be faithful in church. Looking back, I used to be involved in outreach. I one time had a burning desire for souls. I used to be at the prayer meetings. I used to do. And then we become weary in the race. The question is not, what did you used to do? The question should be, what are you doing now and what are you striving for in the future? And Paul says, if I'm going to run this race for the honor and glory of God, I can't look back. I can't look back at my past religious experience. I can't look back even until the moment of my conversion until now and be satisfied where I am now. I have continual growth ahead of me and I must stay focused, not looking back at my past spiritual accomplishments, because those accomplishments in and of myself are nothing. Anything that's been accomplished has been the goodness and grace of God through me. So I must push on. If we are to be victorious in the race, we must not look back. We must not look back at past achievements, and we must not look back at past failures. A Christian can go from a fast sprinter to a slow snail real quick if he allows his past failings to haunt him. And notice how I worded that. If he allows his past failings to haunt him. Sometimes we are the ones to open up the door of the past and to allow those dark memories to haunt us. And allowing those dark memories haunting us, being reminded of our sins, being reminded of our backslidings, it is then that then slows us down in the race because we think that God is done with us and God can't do anything good with us in the future. I've shared this before to the congregation. I remember a time in Bible college, the Lord having saved me years before, and then the Lord calling me to the gospel ministry in Bible college, learning about the Scriptures, seeking to train for future ministry that God would put me in. I remember in my freshman year, one early morning, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, being haunted by my past failings. Thoughts of temptation saying, why are you even studying the Bible? Do you know what you've done toward God in the past? If your peers were here today, your peers that you ran with in high school, and saw you in Bible college now, they would call you a hypocrite. Why are you even pursuing such a path? And it was that early morning in Bible college while everybody was sleeping in the dorm, and I was wrestling with these things, almost tempted to drop out of the race, almost giving in to these thoughts. Taking my Bible, I came across Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward, reaching forth to that which is before. I can't go back and change the past. And those who are in Christ Jesus are now not under the condemnation of God. And I can remember a spring of joy and hope coming over my soul that has been dealt with at Calvary. So I've made mistakes in the past. But all that is under the blood. I've confessed it. And by God's grace, I have forsaken it. And I'm moving on. And if we are to run the race victoriously, we cannot look back and we cannot have our past sins haunt us. Paul says, forgetting those things. Now, let's be honest. We will never forget our past, but he's saying this is a willful thing that people do, and the forgetting is not being influenced by it anymore. It is a conscious choice not to be dragged down by the past. And if we are to run the race with perseverance, we must not allow the past to affect today and the future. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Psalm 103, verse 10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. The Bible says, God says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Our past failures, if we are Christians, if we have turned from our ways, are under the blood. So if you're tempted, if you're being haunted, well, I used to do, but I've abused the grace of God. I used to be a drunkard. I used to be a drug addict. I used to do this. I used to do that. God doesn't have a place for me. Oh, my friend, God takes pleasure in using the weak things to confound the mighty. In the foolish things to confound the wise. Look what God did with the disciples. Who were they? Foul-mouthed fishermen? Corrupt tax collectors? The Apostle Paul, the one speaking to us, a murderer? And don't you think that was a temptation for him? I can't be used of God. I've committed acts of terrorism against the people of God. I've persecuted the church. Oh, but God is the potter. I'm the clay. He's transformed me. And for whatever reason, He's placed me on this pathway, on this raceway, to then run for Him. So don't let the past haunt you. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Jesus said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And that is how we start the Christian race. We do not look back. We put our hand to the plow looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we continue the race, that is how we stay in focus. We keep looking toward the goal, not looking back at our past accomplishments, not looking back at our past failings. In running the Christian race, the believer must not look back. Our second point, the believer must focus on the goal. Verse 14, Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is focused. And he is focused on the goal. And what is the goal? The goal is heaven. The goal is eternal life. The goal is Jesus Christ. And you see him as an athlete using these athletic terms. He presses with every fiber of his being. He exerts power in pressing toward the mark. And in pressing toward the mark, the Lord Jesus Christ, the pathway is spiritual maturity. The pathway is to become more like Christ in this race, so that when he sees Christ, he will look back and see then that he has been a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is focused on the goals. And sometimes in the race, we become focused on a thousand other things rather than Christ. Sometimes we find ourselves focused on ourselves like Moses. God calls Moses to run the race, to be a coach, to run alongside of Israel. And Moses says, "But Lord, I'm a man of uncircumcised lips. I can't talk very good. I'm not the right person for the job. Maybe you should use somebody else." And God says, "No, I want you." And sometimes in the race, we become focused on ourselves. Why me? And we focus on our insufficiencies. We focus on our own abilities and our own wisdom rather than focusing on the Lord. Sometimes in the race, we're focused on others like Martha did. Martha cumbered about with much business when Jesus was there in the house. Martha, who was worried about Mary. "Why isn't Mary serving with me? Why is she sitting at your feet? She should be in the kitchen helping me with the cookies. Or in this season, the pumpkin pie." Martha was focused on others. Now, sometimes in the race, it's easy to become focused on circumstances, our trials, our burdens, our heartaches. We have a picture there with Peter, walking on the water and going toward the goal, going toward Christ until his eyes were then set on the circumstances around him. He saw the winds being strong, the waves boisterous, and it was then he began to sink. And sometimes in the race, we're doing good until we start then focusing on our circumstances rather than the Lord. Sometimes we are like Asaph, focused on the world. Asaph was a runner in the race, but he slowed down because he started to look at those ungodly who were prospering in the world until he went to the house of God, until he heard the word of God, until his focus was then in check. And he then started seeing things from God's perspective. Then he started sprinting in the race once again. And we're all tempted by focusing on ourselves and focusing on others, focusing on circumstances, focusing on the world, when we need to be focused on the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Here we have the author of Hebrews telling us, again, this racing theme and where our focus should be. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, with perseverance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." If we look at anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ, we will slow down and we will fall and trip spiritually and we will become spiritually hurt. We must stay focused, looking to him. And I like verse 3, "For consider him in this race, considered him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. When it becomes rough, when persecutions begin to heat up, when you feel your body in great pain, wondering if you can go forward, remember Him. Consider Him. Look to Him. He's already gone before us. He's already faced the great pains, the great trials, the great persecutions, and He ran the race faithfully, the race that God gave Him to run. So we exert all of our energies to know Him more. We stay focused on Him, because in staying focused on Him, we grow in the grace and knowledge which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the right way to run this race, the victorious way to run the Christian race, number one is not looking back. We cannot look back. It's to focus on the goal. And then thirdly, to encourage others to do the same. Look back there in our text, Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Notice the change. Notice Paul changes from speaking of himself individually, then to including others. Whereas before, verse 15, he was talking about himself. I count not myself. This one thing I do. I press toward the mark. But then in verse 15, let us walk. Let us mind. And what is Paul doing? He's encouraging others to join him in the race. And he does this because he is not in the race by himself. Though he may be a captain or a leader on the team, he is running alongside of others, encouraging them to continue on. And church, we must do the same. What does Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 and 25 tell us? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't you see? Here's Paul. As a runner in the race, as a captain on the team, as a coach, coming alongside of the others and challenging them as they are running. You can do it. Press on. I know you're tired. I know you want to quit. But continue, because once we reach the finish line, it will be worth it. Don't give up. Look at others who've given up. Their chance is gone. But stay focused. So we can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And if you've ever been in athletics, you know what I mean. You exert all your power. You don't know if you can carry on. And you give a little bit more, and you give a little bit more. And you're hearing the opposing teams distract you, and you're hearing words of discouragement on the sideline, but you give a little bit more, and the last bucket is shot, the last ball is thrown, touchdown, and the success, and then that feeling of accomplishment, I've done my best, and it was worth it. That's what Paul is speaking of here in the spiritual realm. And we need to encourage others to do the same. Paul is encouraging others to stay at it. And he is encouraging them not only by his words, but by his example. If we are to encourage others to be a part of this race, we do it with our words. We provoke unto love and good works. Continue on. Stay faithful. Seek the Lord. And while we do so, we're involved ourselves. Because if we're not involved in the race and we say things, it's not going to help anyone. We become armchair quarterbacks. We become self-appointed professionals who've never even put our feet on the racetrack. But this is why we exist as a church. We exist to keep one another accountable. We exist to encourage one another when we are weary. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, every Wednesday night we meet on the racetrack. We're running the race, and this is a team meeting. And there may be some who come into this place and their hearts are weary and their hands are hanging low and they've had a hard week. What is one of the purposes of our meeting together here? To encourage. Press on. It's not to pat on the back and say, hey, you're a good little angel. You just go ahead and take a seat and you just stay there with your bag of potato chips and continue on drinking your Coke and we'll do the running for you. No, the Lord's enlisted you in the race. You need to run. You need to keep your eyes focused. So others will slag behind, but that doesn't mean you should. So Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So others may be distracted. That doesn't mean you should, Timothy. And we need to be a Jonathan, going to David, encouraging one another in the Lord, strengthening one another's hands in the Lord. And you know what that does? That helps tremendously in the spiritual realm. It's the same thing when you have a bench calling out your name who are on your team saying, you can do it. Get on defense. And they're saying positive remarks. There's something that puts a little fire in your bones. You're doing great. Hey, good job. Something that pushes a little bit more. There's something about meeting together as a local church. Coming together. Hey, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for your encouragement to me. Thank you for praying. I'm praying for you. I know you're hurting, but God will see you through it. I know you're discouraged, but the Lord will help you. He is our help. He is our refuge in time of help. Keep at it, and the Lord will see us through. Let me conclude the sermon by asking two questions. Number one, are you in the race? That is, are you a Christian? Have you put your hands to the plow? Spiritually, forsaking the pleasures of this life, forsaking your own will and your own ways, living wholly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in the race? And then what kind of racer are you? What kind of runner are you? Are you a runner making excuses? Are you a lethargic runner? Are you a distracted runner? Are you a runner that's tempted to look back? Are you a runner that's okay with just coasting, doing the status quo? Or are you like Paul, with every bit of strength that God gives, seeking to move forward for the sake of the gospel? Don't look back. Focus on the goal and encourage others to do the same. Let's pray. Lord, we submit our hearts to you again. You know where we are at spiritually. And you know that none of us have arrived. You know our failings. Yet you exhort us to press on. And Lord, I pray that this would be a day of spiritual renewal for us. Lord, that we would not look back individually and as a church. Lord, that we would see the best days are in front of us individually, and if we submit to you as a family and as a church. Lord, you know our temptations to take our eyes off the goal, to focus on 1,000 different idols. I pray that you would enable us this week to stay focused, to stay in your word, and to commit ourselves to prayer each day, keeping our hearts and minds fixed on you. Should there be some here who have not entered the race of faith, Lord, I pray that they would see that this is the race of life. Any other pathway leads to death, leads to eternal destruction. To be separated from this race means to have the displeasure and condemnation of God. And I pray that they would enter through the door, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would put their hands to the plow, not looking back. Help them to see that Christ is able to save to the uttermost, to those who come to God by faith through Him. Oh, Lord, encourage us. Strengthen us as only you can. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.